This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
4 o'clock here on the Fan. A lot going on this very busy Wednesday. I was a little angry and depressed at the top of the show at 2 o'clock. I could rewind on the Odyssey app, mainly because it was the same crap in a different year. Plus a lot on Gleyber Torres and his base running, but I'm very, very disappointed in our very own Sean Morash. One thing I take a lot of pride in on this radio show, and everybody has really stepped up except for Lukey, but he's got excuses, is whenever there's a big game in town, one of us, at least one of us is there, right? One of us shows up. If there's a big Jet game, I'll be there.
You're right.
Tomorrow night there's a big Giant game, Tiki's going to be
there.
That's
right.
Sean Morash last year was at Giants-Jets. So were you, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think you were broadcasting.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Setting back football history 20 years.
Yeah, but whatever. You were there.
Actually, 40 years.
40 years, yes.
I didn't throw the ball.
That's
Take
true.
That back. 60 years.
All right. I hear your disgust. Bottom line was there was a winner and there was a loser. Sean was also at Rangers Islanders last year, which was awesome. Loogie doesn't do that mainly because he needs a free ticket to go.
That's correct.
He's kind of not involved, but we always have somebody there, and I love that. You know, I love that we're all contributing like that. And so while tomorrow's not a big deal because Tiki's going to be at Giants Cowboys, I couldn't believe why Sean Morash is not going to Giants Cowboys.
Tell me, because it doesn't want to sit in the rain.
Why don't you go to Giants Cowboys?
I made a list of pros and cons, but the biggest con of it all is I'm done going to Giants Cowboys games until this team proves that they can beat the Cowboys.
Wow. Come on.
You bitch.
No. They've lost 13 to 14, and usually in the most horrific fashion. And don't tell me I'm not a real Giant fan. I've flown my ass to Dallas and gone to Giants-Cowboys games there.
But this is the first time the Thursday night is happening here.
Not only that, it's the first time the Cowboys in NFL history are ever traveling on the road on 3 days rest. Every other NFL team has done at least 6 times. Take that tidbit and shove it.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
Every NFL franchise for at least 6 times has traveled on the road with 3 days rest. Or whatever.
Right.
Cowboys have never done it till this week. That being said, I'm done, Ev. I'm done. I'm not going into that stadium and watching this team lose 35-6 and then having to deal with Cowboy fans in this stupid Emmitt Smith jersey.
Are you positive about the Giants still, or are you very negative about the Giants right now?
Sounds negative.
I'm very confused about your emotional state.
I'm shaking hand about the Giants. I see the light to the positivity, and I also see the light to the Browns just stink and they found a win.
Well, okay, so there's a couple of things here. There's being negative about the game, which I understand, which we will get into. And then there's the I don't want to go because I expect to lose thing.
No.
I don't buy
that, man. You're misinterpreting. That's not what I said.
That's exactly what you
that
said.
That is not what I said, and for the 44th time to you, you better get this right and you better listen to me clearly. I don't want to go because if we lose, I don't want to be taunted by Cowboy fans again. I'm done being taunted by them.
So what happens when you get taunted? Like, explain to us what happens.
I call somebody a piece of bleep. I will say...
No. What do they say to you?
Hey, fatso, you lost again. Oh, where's that paper bag?
The fact remains, what comes with the territory of being here on WFAN is not the same as what it was 8 years ago when I went to a Giant Cowboy game. And I'm not going to be...
You're saying you were irrelevant and you were on the network.
Well, at Giant Cowboy games I was. Okay. Boise, Idaho, I couldn't pay for a meal.
So you're trying to say that because you become such a big star on WFAN and on SNY, that's why you don't want to go to the game?
I think that's what he's saying.
I had to run for cover at MetLife Stadium to a bus I was leaving on when the Giants lost to the Jets last year. I'm not doing that with Cowboy fans this year. I'm not going to have some idiot with a cell phone goat me into calling him a bleepity jerk. I'm not doing it. So I'm protecting myself.
But what about, when was the last time, and we could play this game because it's actually informative as well, the last time the Giants beat the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium was when?
I mean.
Oh, I'll tell you. It was in January of 2021, the very last week of the COVID season when Doug Peterson ducked.
Okay.
Fans weren't even there.
That's my point. So the last time the New York Football Giants beat the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium was a home game that was attended by 37 workers.
Yes.
Okay?
I think the media had the options to, like, walk around the stands.
All right,
like,
so maybe it's 170.
All right.
The time before that was when, Sean?
2016 Sunday Night Football.
2016. So you haven't had the joy of walking out of MetLife Stadium beating your rival in 8 years. You always look at the negative, and this is where I'll be positive, Evan, because you can say whatever you want about me, about my feeling on the Mets right now or whatever. I will show up. I will show up, Teak, because that feeling of leaving a building as a victor is one of the greatest feelings in the world. And before you respond, I do need to tell you a quick story. And I love Benigno. You know how I feel about him. But Joe did what you did. You know when he did that?
What do you mean? He stopped going?
No, Joe will never stop going, but I'm going to tell you the specific situation.
He got scared of the opposing fan?
Me, Benigno, and Ernie Acosta went to Jets-Patriots regular season in Foxborough 2010. For those that may forget, we got our ass kicked. It was bad. It was ugly. Memory serves correct. I think the final score was 45-3. Google it. Mm. All right? Mm-hmm. We went there. We got physically and mentally abused. Someone was going after Ernie because he's wearing a Yankee hat. Someone was going after me because I've got red hair.
Right.
Someone was going after Benigno because I don't know. It was awful. We made it out alive. We got back. We did the show. A few months later, the Jets are playing the Patriots in the AFC divisional round. And I said to Ernie, we're going. Mm. I called up Joe. I didn't call him up. He was sitting right next to me. I said, we're going. He's like, bro, I love you, bro. Can't do it. I can't do this again, bro.
A playoff game?
In New England, in fairness.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. He did that. Mm. And what I said to Joe, and I'll say it to you, what if we win?
That's my bad.
Then I'm going to feel the best way possible dry on my couch.
Yeah, you'll feel good. Obviously, Joe felt good.
Isn't your pool still open?
Sad times. You broke out the cover.
Oh, no.
Today?
Well, it's not covered yet, but the cover's hanging on the swing set ready to go.
Wow. Mm. But it's a better feeling leaving the stadium and watching those losers leave. It's a risk reward. You don't think the risk of just another day of losing to the Cowboys is worth the reward of seeing upset Cowboy fans?
Nope. Because Evan,
and it's Thursday, and Friday's just like half a day.
Yeah, here's the thing.
For whom?
Everybody.
Except for us.
This is where the other cons do come into place. I'm being transparent. I don't have confidence the Giants are winning this game. More on that at a later time. I don't have confidence that I'm not going to keep my mouth shut and be really, because I hate Cowboy fans. I despise them. They're going to say the wrong thing, and I'm going to be really angry at them. I'm not going to fist fight because I'm not a fighter, and I'll get knocked out. Mm. That being said, Evan, in the end, even if I prop the pro up a little bit, I'm not driving 3 hours home in the rain after working all day.
You can come chill at my spot.
I thank you for that. That's great.
Come on.
But then I probably wouldn't be well in your spot during a Giant. You know? I might be kicking cans.
No, I meant like stay at my house after the game.
None of your family needs that.
He's not giving you a seat. He's giving you a bed.
All right.
You don't need, because then what if I stay in your toilet? Then your wife's telling you I'm never allowed
there's
over.
There's six of them. You'll be good.
I appreciate all that. And all that really is, no, I'm just, no, I'm not going.
I'm very disappointed in you.
Why? Tiki's there. He's covering it.
No.
And also, dude, I made a choice. I'm going to one of these two games. I'm going to the Eagle game. I'm going to the game I have more confidence in the Giants winning.
Sean, I'm not.
Really?
Yes. That's interesting on itself.
What?
You're more confident beating the Eagles in Saquon's return than Thursday against the Cowboy team?
Right.
That he's historically bad, stopping the run right now?
Defense is terrible.
Excuse me. Who did the Giants beat to end last year that you guys told me mattered?
Come on.
No. Oh, no, you don't, freckle face. You spent all week ahead of that game last year when I told.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You two, the game didn't matter. You said, no, it builds on next year. You have the confidence you could beat them. Now I'm giving you what you sold me, and you gave me an oh, come on.
No, you know why it mattered?
Oh, go scratch, Ev.
No, I'm going to scratch this. They lost the following week in the postseason. That's where it mattered. It's not going to matter against the Giants in a couple of weeks. And why do you have more confidence against the Eagles, who right now are just a better team than the Cowboys?
Are they?
A better team.
They scored 3 points through three quarters.
Sure.
Are they?
Yeah. I believe both.
I mean, it was an ugly game, but whatever.
I believe both teams are flawed, and that was one of my predictions coming into the year, that there's something off about both teams. But if you had to ask me right now, like, which one is more effed, I would say it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. There's still a giant side of this, Evan. They lost their first two games, and they had a great effort last week. I loved every ounce of it.
Just think about this. They easily could have, in a compromised state, have beaten the Commanders.
They could have.
And by the way, the Commanders are saying the exact same thing
right.
that I'm about to say, and be 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders are 2-1.
Yeah.
Right? They're tied atop the NFC East right now.
Yeah.
The Giants easily could be that, and they hadn't even hit their stride yet.
Well, if Daniel Jones' pick isn't called back by a roughing the passer, they could easily be 0-3-2. So, I mean, we play that game both ways.
But why, and I do want to get into the football stuff, why are you so negative about this game? Well, obviously, spend a lot more time on it tomorrow.
Sure.
Giants-Cowboys game you'll hear right here on WFAN. But why, especially after the excitement you had Monday, the season is on, now we're back, the paper bag is gone.
That's cool.
What has led, especially the way Dallas has looked as well, what has led to this kind of negativity going into tomorrow night?
Haven't beaten Dak Prescott since his rookie year. Even when they beat the Cowboys, that was Andy Dalton. Micah Parsons completely wrecks games versus the New York Giants. I'm interested to see how the offensive line does versus him in this game. Daniel Jones never seems to beat the Dallas Cowboys. It seems like when the lights go on in prime time and these games are played, he shrinks like a pumpkin. I hope he doesn't tomorrow, but that's just the case. And lastly, and this is very X's and O's and nerdy,
the secondary being banged up.
Well, yeah, the best player on the Dallas Cowboys that kills us annually is CeeDee Lamb, who runs a lot of plays out of the slot, and the Giants are down their all-world new rookie slot corner and the best guy who could cover him in Adoree Jackson. I'm good on that show. By the way, CeeDee Lamb quit last week. He'll go off and have a Christmas spectacular for 200 yards tomorrow. I don't need to see that in the swamp.
Short week.
Yeah.
Banged up. Mostly not right.
You want to respond to that, T?
No, I mean,
there's a lot of good stuff he said right there.
He did say a lot of good stuff, and he's not wrong. I mean, the biggest issue with the Giants was the secondary, and now they're banged up in the secondary. So unless Shane Bowen comes up with another spectacular game plan where you get after the opposing quarterback to the tune of 8 sacks, the Giants could be, I mean, they could be playing behind it for a while. So it'll be interesting to see the defensive game plan given the issues in the secondary.
Well, you just hit on the reason why I have a lot more optimism than Sean about this game tomorrow night. The New York Giants have a formula, and we got to see a little bit of a preview of that formula this past weekend, and that is getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
They never get to Dak Prescott. And a part of why they've never gotten to Dak Prescott is that the Dallas Cowboys always have this all-world offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't had a chance yet, I'm sure you will soon, to watch the All-22 of the three Dallas games that they've played.
Mm-hmm.
But just a quick like view from 50,000 feet, 30,000 feet, whatever it is.
30.
Their offensive line is not the same.
50,000 feet.
I think they're starting two rookies on their offensive line.
Yes, they are.
Like,
yes,
this
they
is
are.
Not your dad's Dallas Cowboys offensive line. And I think that the Giants are set up to get at Dak, which they never do. Like, when's the last time they sacked them? They never sack them. And that was the formula.
It's been a while. It's been, like, years.
They have not sacked them at all when Wink Martindale was the defensive coordinator. That's how long
it was. It goes back a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Not a single sack in any of the games.
Now, he missed one of the games in 2022. So you're talking about three games with Wink as the DC in which they never got to him. So, yeah, it's not a surprise that Dak Prescott tears you apart. But I think this defense is different.
Cool.
I think
Make sure you pick them tomorrow.
Why are you cooling me? Maybe I will, but that's not the point. Like, I'm giving you...
How dare you?
How dare me?
You sit here like a crying loser all day yesterday, and then can't wait, by the way, to record a Rico last night and come in again today and start the show with, again, your crying loser stuff about, it's 20... 2022 again. It's 2000 again. It's 99 again. It's all the Braves crap. And I'm giving you a more recent string of 7 straight years versus the Cowboys. You have the nerve to say, why aren't you going to the game?
Did I just respond with a football reason?
Yeah.
I just told you.
And I gave you the football reasons why you're wrong. And oh, by the way, even if everything goes right tomorrow, even if they get after Dak Prescott, even if they shut down CeeDee Lamb, if this is a tight game, we don't have a kicker, and they have a freaking alien for a kicker that can kick a ball through the other end zone. So that's another reason I'm going to lose the game. And I'm not doing it. I'm not being yelled at and taunted leaving another giant Cowboy game because we sell our tickets to 40,000 of these animals. I'm not doing it. So don't make me feel bad about it.
Real quick, Tiki Barber.
Yes.
You need to be the judge. Bigger loser in the last 24 hours. Me with the Mets Braves stuff or Sean Morash?
It's close. It's tricky.
God, it is very close. Mm. I'm going to say you.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, because your team is good.
Huh.
Like, really good.
And the Giants aren't?
Well, I don't know if they are.
Right. Go ahead.
The bus did not actually go.
Thank God I can stop talking about this. So the Mets are doing a little something fake tonight. I'm going to give it to
you. The Mets are doing something fake tonight. All right. All right.
Keep in mind, this game's not going to be played, right? Francisco Lindor's in the lineup.
He's leading off batting.
Yeah. He's leading off and playing shortstop.
Playing shortstop.
So you believe it? Hold on. Wow. We got breaking news that for the first time since last Sunday in Philadelphia, where he had to leave after an inning, Francisco Lindor is back in the New York Mets lineup, and he is leading off tonight. And right out of the gate, you're saying, they're not playing. Right. This is fake.
I bless the Mets with this, man, and I actually applaud it. What great PR work. Know you're not playing a game. Know how negative your fan base is and Evan Roberts' and Rico Bronya podcasts are. And understand that, hey, we get to put out a lineup tonight. We're not going to play for 2 days. Lindor's in.
Mm.
Lindor's in. What a genius marketing plan.
What does that do?
It makes Mets fans think positively. Oh, Lindor's going to be back the next time we play when they were never playing tonight anyway. So it makes them think positively now.
Believe it or not, I kind of agree with him. I think the Mets are saying, because here's the other aspect of this, and this is great. I think that we have seen positive updates about Lindor for the last 24 hours, really dating back to yesterday afternoon when Lindor took batting practice.
Yeah.
That was great. And then he had the scan came back and everything was clean. We saw Lindor running. There were videos of that. So there certainly were a lot of positive things. And it all got capped off by the fact that Francisco Lindor put the cleats on and was going to pinch hit for Tyrone Taylor in the ninth inning of this game. He was out on deck for Tyrone Taylor if Mark Vientos had extended the game. So there certainly have been positive signs that Lindor was trending the right way.
Right. He's almost there.
But let's say they do play tonight. Okay? Let's say somehow in the midst of this rainstorm, with field conditions being awful, the New York Mets play tonight. I got to tell you, isn't it irresponsible to play Francisco Lindor?
Well, do you think they're actually going to play him if they do end up playing?
So then Sean's right. It's a fugazi lineup in that they don't think they're going to play. Right. And if somehow they did play, I don't think it would be smart to play Francisco Lindor.
Pinch hit for him in the first inning?
Well, that'd be a bad or just change the lineup.
That doesn't do it.
That doesn't mean Lindor's not ready to play.
I didn't say he wasn't ready to play, Luke.
What he's saying, though.
No,
that's exactly what he said.
That part I don't agree with, but I do think that this
clearly he's ready to play.
He's trending in the right direction. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been up last night. So he's ready to play.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, is he ready to be all back in? That's the only question I have.
And also, if you're going to play a game in horrible conditions, is that the day you want to activate a guy?
No, of course not.
Or activate, he's been activated for a week, but play a guy who's got a back issue.
No, not at all.
Yeah, the Met fan is not going to see the Mets play baseball again until Friday. They are going to be left with this enormous sour taste in their mouth. This is a little carrot and a little nugget. Hey, if we would have played, Lindor was ready. It's just a way to get all the negative vibes of yesterday off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with the exact explanations that you're trying to give and trying to fend off us mocking you for being an ultra-negative New York football Giants fan. But
you think Met fans were cheering. That's what you're saying.
I think
pom-poms were back out.
Yeah, I think Met fans going, okay, we're okay. We got our MVP.
No, I think that there's been optimism over the last 24 hours about Lindor. Like, I think you just got to follow the tea leaves on all of this. But let's just get down to brass tacks here. Forget about why you think the Mets did this. If somehow they play a game tonight, should Francisco Lindor play?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
In these conditions?
Because he wants to. Clearly he wants to.
Sometimes you got to protect the player, bro.
I know, but clearly he wants to.
Would you play him, Sean?
I would not.
Would you play him, Lugie?
I would, because I'm not sure what the conditions have to do with a bad back. When you have a bad back...
Turn the wrong way.
But any conditions are bad when you have a bad back.
Yeah. No, I disagree, because remember...
Have you seen you with a bad back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it would be worse if I'm slipping around.
Can't get footing on ice skates.
No, but what about the footing in the batter's box? The thing is a muddy mess. He slips once, turns, the back is totally...
You know, they do cover it.
Yeah, but, well, they're covering it, but it's a monsoon of rain.
If it's a monsoon, they're not playing.
Exactly.
They're going to try to play, and the conditions of this field are going to be terrible.
No way. They're
going to play through a rainstorm.
There's no way they're going to play in a rainstorm.
There's no way.
Like, it's dangerous to play in a rainstorm baseball-wise.
And it's more dangerous for a guy with a back issue.
Hmm.
I agree that they're probably not going to play. If they try to play through rain, even if it's not a rainstorm, but it's rainy conditions, mm-hmm. the field conditions are bad. Like, we've all watched baseball before. Don't act like you don't know, Lugie, that second base area may be puddly. Like, it happens. And ask yourself, when did Lindor re-aggravate the injury? Footing issues at second base. So that's how it happens. So I think it would be too risky. Believe it or not, as important as these games are, to have him out there in these conditions. I would not play him tonight. I'd pinch hit for him late.
Yeah.
I would use him as a weapon. Yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, the right circumstance, absolutely. But I don't know if I'd play him. And I also want to know, are they going to make the Mets and us as fans wait all night before they rain this game out?
Probably.
What are you going to do, SNY? I don't think we got to do old Met games. You know what we should do? I'm willing to do this.
What's that?
Evan and Tiki remain live through the rain delay. We give you Tiki's like, are you kidding me?
My daughter's going to a concert today.
Oh, sorry about that.
Megan Trainor.
You want to do it, Sean? You want to stay live? On SNY? We'll do rain delay theater?
I can't hear you. I'm brushing my teeth.
poor Gary Cohen. He hates this. He really does.
What will they do?
So what SNY normally does is they do like... different. There's a show about each season and the greatest comebacks in a season.
Got it. Yeah.
And so that's always on. But then, like,
But the broadcasters are there.
No, so. Everybody's there. So here's what's going to happen. All right. SNY knows what I'm talking about because they do this. So 7:00, Gary and Keith. Gary's going to give you the look of death. What are we doing here? Baseball's idiotic. Keith's going to say, can we go to a steakhouse? They're going to set up the broadcast, and then Gary will say, hey, we'll keep you posted. Then there's going to be a graphic that says Mets are in a rain delay, and we're going to watch the 10 greatest comebacks from 2011.
Nice.
Okay? Then after each episode ends, they're going to go, I'm an expert on this, they're going to go back to Gary Apple usually, and Gary's going to say, it's still raining in Atlanta. We don't have an update, but keep it right here on SNY. And then we're going to go back to the 10 greatest comebacks from 1997.
Oh.
And there were some good ones that year. My favorite, made my Mets Bible, was the Carl Everett game winner.
Okay.
Or the Grand Slam that tied it, and then Bernard Gilkey won the game. That's one of my favorites. And then they're going to go back to Gary Apple. Now it's 10:00 at night. And Gary's going to say, we don't know what's going on.
So you want to stay here on Evan and Tiki till 10:00 at night?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, with a live like camera view of the field. So that we can keep everybody updated about what's going on and talk about how bad the rain is. And Tiki tells us great football stories from his playing days.
Great. So where exactly are we doing that? Because WFAN has a show that's going
to
be here.
We'll go to the SNY studios. They'd have us, right? We'll just cruise on over. We were there last week.
Lugie, that would exclude you because we don't need you.
Yeah, we don't need you.
Sounds good. Enjoy. Let me know how it goes.
Nobody wants to do this. You would want to do rain delay theater.
I don't know what the hell I'd talk about for 3 hours.
I'll bring up stuff.
Okay.
We'll talk about everything.
All right.
We'll talk about your days playing. Mm. We'll talk about Giants Cowboys tomorrow night.
Tiki Barber here.
We'll analyze the rain follicles that are falling in Georgia.
We'll talk
about the hurricanes, like, is it climate change? What's going on? You'll explain it to me because I really don't know. Yeah, fun show.
I just saw this post on Interstellar Science or something about how time is the same everywhere, meaning history has already happened.
You're blowing my mind, bro.
It was blowing my mind. I had to save it and so I can rewatch it because I'm lost.
You want to hear something crazy?
What's that?
Okay, hear me out on this about time. Let's say you are on a planet that is 10 million light years away.
Yes.
Okay? And you have this incredibly powerful telescope in which that telescope can look at planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're looking at 10 million years ago. They're looking at the dinosaurs right now.
Yes.
Because it takes so much time for light to travel that that telescope is showing them Earth from 10 million years ago because it's 10 million light years ago. And they're not seeing us. They're seeing dinosaurs.
Right.
Holy crap.
That's mind-blowing.
Is that mind-blowing?
Yeah. It's like the stars we see in the sky.
Yeah.
That's light from eons ago.
They've already blown up.
Of course.
Isn't that nuts?
It is.
See, this is what
it scares you when it makes you think
very
how
scary.
Small we are.
So SNY, this is what we would do. This would be rain delay theater at 9:15.
And then why we would never see aliens? Because we're so small and insignificant. Why the hell would aliens ever come here?
And this is the part where I would yell at Tiki, because he's obviously wrong about that.
I'm not wrong.
He would yell back at me. And then we would argue about aliens. And then after about 10 minutes of that, I'd say, let's go back to Truist Park and see what it looks like. And then you'd show us rain falling on the tarp. And then we would call Rob Manfred a bad name. And we go back to aliens.
Right. So that's we've been spoiled by Hollywood to think that aliens are humanoid.
You're still doing this.
Why would an alien have the same physical structures as us?
You're picking at me right now.
I'm not. I'm just telling you.
We're going to have to do a podcast about this. If it's not the Evan and Tiki Rain Delay Theater on SNY, it's going to have to be a podcast. We'll come back with more of your calls. 4:30, about 2 hours and 50 minutes away from when the New York Mets are scheduled to play game two of their three-game series with the Atlanta Braves. Now nursing a one-game lead over Atlanta and a one-game lead over Arizona. The Mets have a lineup. The Braves have a lineup. The forecast continues to be absolutely awful. I went to my very valuable Weather Channel app just to see maybe things are changing. Maybe there's a window. And I do have an update for you. Mm. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
At 7 o'clock, there is a 100% chance of rain. We have moved from 86 to 100. At 8 o'clock, it gets a little bit better. There's a 98% chance of rain.
Lovely.
At 9 o'clock, there's a 100% chance of rain. But luckily at 10 o'clock, it drops down to 80. And it remains in the 80s between 10 o'clock and 1 a.m. So if an 80% chance of rain at 10 o'clock at night is a window, then the Mets and the Braves have a window.
That's just miserable. And they're over there at the stadium now?
Yes.
Already? Getting ready? Or not? Or, I don't know, eating fried chicken, whatever the heck it is they're doing in the locker room
they're
right now.
They're taking indoor batting practice.
Indoor batting practice.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic.
And the Mets have posted a lineup that does feature something really interesting. And I don't know what to do. Because there's no way they're playing this game, right? So should I respond to this lineup? Or should I say,
hypothetically, let's have a conversation about it. Throw it out there.
Okay. Hypothetically, Francisco Lindor is leading off, which is very cool.
It
does, though I would not play him in these horrible, horrible conditions. But the guy who's missing is Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo is not in the lineup against Chris Sale. Brandon Nimmo has four at-bats against Chris Sale, and he is 0 for 4. So what does that mean? Actually, he's 1 for 4. So it really isn't like a long track record between Brandon and Chris Sale. But Tyrone Taylor is in left field. Harrison Bader is in center field. Starling Marte is in right field, and J.D. Martinez is the DH. So the Mets are trying to go very right-handed by sitting the left-hand hitters that they have. Mark Vientos is at third, Lindor is at shortstop, Iglesias at second, and Pete Alonso is at first base. The catcher is Francisco Alvarez. Luis Angel Acuna, not in the lineup. Brandon Nimmo, not in the lineup. I have no issue with sitting Acuna. I was on the other side of this argument because I know some have said you got to keep playing him.
Right. He's one of the four hits yesterday, though.
No. And it's not a knock on him.
I know. I'm just saying. But
I just, right now, if I have to make a decision on who I'm sitting, I like him off the bench. I like him, hey, in case something goes wrong with Lindor. He obviously comes right in and plays shortstop.
Makes sense.
And also his speed off of the bench, potentially to steal a bag, to swipe a bag. So I like him as a weapon off the bench. So I don't have a problem with that. But I'm surprised that Brandon Nimmo is sitting against Chris Sale. As tough as Chris is against lefties, Brandon's one of your core guys. Mm-hmm. And Brandon has hit lefties in his major league career, and as I pointed out, is 1 for 4 against Chris Sale, so it's not like he's 0 for 12 with 11 strikeouts.
Right, but he also hasn't faced him a lot of times.
So he hasn't.
You don't necessarily know. So, again, this is probably just a lineup that's just out there to be out there, obviously, because they're most likely not going to play. And it could change.
Yeah.
Subject to change. If this thing lasts until, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, they decide to have first pitch, and it's raining outside. Trust me, Francisco Lindor is probably not playing.
That's right.
Things are going to change.
It's a part of why my scorebook is in front of me right now. I have not written anything down in my scorebook. I refuse to. It's like a protest. Now,
I'm a loser.
I will eventually write something down. Like, if Chris Sale is on the mound and the Met lineup is on the graphic on SNY and Gary Cohn's like, oh, we're going to play baseball. Who knew? At that point, I will start writing in my scorecard.
Okay.
I will not put anything down until that happens. Now, real quick, there are three guys who have extensive experience against Chris Sale. Jose Iglesias, Francisco Lindor, and J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez is 9-for-41 with 3 home runs. That's a .220 average, 754 OPS. So not very good numbers, yeah, but he's seen him a lot.
Right.
Jose Iglesias is 11-for-36 with a home run. That's a .306 batting average. And get ready for this. Francisco Lindor, 14-for-34. That's a .412 batting average with a 1,076 OPS.
So that tells you why he's leading off tonight, at least hypothetically.
No, I think it's just because he's healthy. Like, it, no, I don't think that would have mattered.
It's because they're trying to put him in Chris Sale's head.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
Like it's almost a game?
Exactly.
I got you. Other than that, there really
makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I think if Lindor is healthy, he plays. I think of it comes down to that.
But if this thing waits for 3 hours, 6 hours from now, he's not playing.
Yeah. I still can't see how they're playing. And if they do play tonight, I am unsubscribing from the Weather Channel app because that means they lied to me. Mm. I'm sitting here looking at this app, looking at the weather. There's no, no, what do you mean? Come on, Loogie. I am getting, in fact, I'm filing a protest. I'm going to ask for my money back. I'm going to write a letter to the app store and say, I want my $9.99 back. Why are you giving me this app? And it's lying to me.
Because, hold on a second. We work in an industry, much like the weather people, where we're wrong 99% of the time.
No.
Do we want our audience unsubscribing to us?
Loogie,
we'd be out of jobs.
Loogie, let's correct the record here.
Sorry.
There's only one person on this show that's wrong 99% of the time. That's documented.
And it's you.
No, it's Sean Morash.
Excuse me?
He's 2-15 with NFL picks this year.
That's a great point.
2-13.
Yeah, 3-13. I'm 9-7. Like, that's that's a pretty good percentage. Then you're 2-14. We've had 16 games picked. I'm 9-7.
Okay.
Loogie's 8-8. Tiki's 5-11. And you're 2-14. So, no, our predictions are a little bit more than 50% correct.
So, NFL.
Tiki told us Sam Darnold's awesome. What?
I mean, I've had a lot of takes.
No, you're very wrong. You're the only person that qualifies.
Picks?
Yeah, your picks are terrible.
Picks. I don't know.
You're tanking on the season.
So far, my Jets record prediction looks pretty good.
They're 2-1.
They're on pace.
They got to go 14-0 for your prediction to be right. All right. Thank you, though, for that.
And you give the Weather Channel $10 a month to tell the weather? Look out the window.
I had a local weatherman reach out to me on Twitter, after I haven't said that a little while ago, told me, quite frankly, that is the biggest scam going.
Really?
I pay for that. Yeah, that... It's basically they have interns back there playing a guessing game, getting suckers to buy it.
Well, they got me.
They found the biggest.
Oh, that's the best. That's amazing.
I'm going to my account right now and I'm subscribing. Like, I think I'm doing this right now because.
You should.
Yeah. Because they're telling me
there's no way they could be right. 100%, at least not $10 worth of right.
They're barely right an hour ahead of time.
I know, but $10 worth of right, that's a lot.
Yeah.
A month?
I got to really do a deep dive on my finances. This is stupid.
Yeah, didn't you do a whole thing a couple months ago that you and your wife went through what to cut the fat out of?
Yeah, we
and
didn't
you
want...
kept the weather out?
We had a discussion, and I said it's important to know the weather.
Right.
Look out a window.
Let's go to a guy who's actually down in Georgia right now to give us a live weather report, which may be more accurate than my Weather Channel app. Fred is calling from the beautiful state, it's a swing state nowadays, the great state of Georgia. Fred, how's it going down there? Hello, Fred.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah. I gave him a big intro when he's gone.
The weather is destroying his cell service.
Oh, that sucks. Sorry about that, Fred. Well, we have to move on. There's no weather. That's much like the Weather Channel app. I got nothing. Let's go to Adam, who's calling from Selden. How are you, Adam?
What's going on, guys?
We're good.
I got two things. One a Mets, one a streaming, going back a while.
Yeah.
So on the Mets, Evan, I totally feel you as a fellow Mets fan, how it feels losing to the Braves like that. On the other side, this team, it just got a different feel. You know, Iglesias said he got hit himself with the ball yesterday, but I mean, a guy like that has just been all year, it just feels different. So I'm not too worried about the one game, especially because it sounds like it's not going to matter anyway.
That's the easy way out. The games may not matter, or they may get pushed back. The problem, Adam, with all due respect to your argument of it feels different, is in 2022, when the Mets were about to win 100 games, and they did win 100 games, That felt different as well. A year before, the Mets choked at the end of the 2021 season. They were in first place for a majority of the season. They aggressively traded for Javier Baez. Jake went down with his injury, and the Mets completely and utterly collapsed. And in 2022, they had some great victories early in the season. They got off to a wonderful start. They were on pace to win 100 games, and they too showed adversity. They overcame Jacob deGrom not pitching in the first half of the year. They overcame Max Scherzer getting hurt with the oblique. They overcame a lot. And so to say now, after the fact, it's different. You did not think that then. Nobody thought that then. We thought that team was different. You don't know it's different until the final results are different. And until the Mets clinch a postseason spot, nothing has been proven to be different.
Yeah, but it's a different team. And so it's almost like this. It's almost like the decision on this team is being predetermined, or at least being put in a position to be the more likely outcome, which is a negative one, obviously. And I just don't understand how that's on top of mind for most Met fans.
Well, no. I think that the first part of what you said is right, and it's more on my side. Everyone is already predetermining, mm-hmm. Well, this is different. Well, we don't know it's different. They haven't made the playoffs yet. They haven't responded with big victories in Atlanta. Going into the Atlanta series 2 years ago, we all thought it was different. And we were wrong.
Because they were on pace to win over 100 games.
Because they were an excellent team all year. Even in September when they weren't playing their best baseball.
Yes.
Did anyone honestly think, going into that Atlanta series, oh yeah, we're going to get swept with Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, and Chris Bassett on the mound? The answer is no. They got swept, and then we all,
So, but what does that have to do with now? My only issue is, what does that have to do with now?
What did our last caller say? He said this team is different. And my response is, how the hell do you know that? Hmm. What is it based on? It's based on some regular season games?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the regular season in 2022 was pretty damn good until it wasn't. And you guys all forget that. It's the most convenient argument ever made. Well, this is different.
I don't think I'm making an argument, because ultimately, who cares about 2022? It was 2 years ago.
Well, I care because we're seeing the same thing. I care because they're playing the Braves.
It's completely different.
Well, it's not. They go to Atlanta. They got to beat them, and they're losing in lifeless ways.
If the Mets are to beat the Atlanta Braves, what's going to be the reason?
The stars are going to have to come up.
But is it going to be because they have three aces, potential aces that they could throw out there? Or is it because they need to hit and score and put crooked numbers up against really good pitchers?
Which they didn't do 2 years ago, yes.
So which one is going to happen this year?
Right now, I don't think any of it's going to happen. I don't have exactly a lot of confidence they're going to beat the Braves. They never do.
I know what you're saying, but my point is, whatever happened in 2022 doesn't matter.
Well, then stop telling me, again, not directed fully at you,
yes,
how different this team is.
They are different.
We don't know that they're different.
The result may be the same, but this is a different team.
Well, when I hear different, I hear, oh, don't worry, they won't choke the way they did.
I don't think they're choking. I don't think they're choking.
One night in, they did. In 2 years ago, it was one night until it was two nights and it was three nights.
Have they been dominated by the Braves this year?
Were they dominated by the Braves in 2022?
Are they dominated by the Braves this year?
No, but were they dominated in 2022?
I don't remember.
They were not. The Mets had the edge in the season series where all they had to do was win one game to win the season series. One game. That was the situation they went into that year.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not going to allow it to happen.
They were older.
Okay.
Or extremely younger
right.
at that point.
And they were tighter. That's the other thing I was told. They were tight 2 years ago. We are going to completely...
Who was tight? Scherzer?
No. That's what Steve Gelb said last night on the broadcast. Brandon Nimmo was tight. Pete Alonso was tight. Everybody was so nervous. Mm. How do we know that's different? We don't know it's different until it's proven to be different. And thank you to Gary Cohn for saying that. Mm. Well, the Mets are getting beat now. They look pretty tight. How do we know that's different? So stop telling me how different things are. They've got to prove it's different.
Right. The result is what is the only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that matters.
How were they tight last night? You know, can you cite some examples?
How were they tight 2 years ago?
They were not tight a couple years ago.
No. The reporting is Brandon Nimmo. This is what Steve said, and I respect Steve. This is what he said on the broadcast last night. They were tight last year. So you just disagree with his reporting.
I'm not disagreeing with his reporting, but I would.
They were young 2 years ago. It was Francisco Alvarez who had no business being in that spot, trying to be a hero.
Mm-hmm. And that's one guy.
And it was Jacob deGrom who was likely fighting something, but nobody knew.
Six innings, three runs is not the end of the world. It wasn't all on him.
Of course. Yeah, but it was demoralizing the way I was there. It was demoralizing how he just kept giving up home runs.
Gave up three solos, yeah.
Exactly right. Okay. And it just felt like it demoralized the team every single time. So tight, I don't know. I think maybe they were, save us, DeGrom, you're our only hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gave up home run after home run after home run, and whatever, in five innings, it just felt like we can't do anything.
Well, and the stars didn't make impacts. Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, and Brandon Nimmo did not make an impact the way Matt Olson did, the way Austin Riley did, the way the Brave stars did. But you asked, how were they tight? How would you define being tight in baseball, Tommy?
How would I?
What makes it you think a team looks tight? Go ahead.
I don't necessarily.
Is it bad defense? Is it not hitting and having lifeless at-bats?
Bad defense. The only bad defensive play that I can recall, Marte ended up making that catch, was Alvarez being too aggressive.
Okay,
and not letting Severino field the ball.
Number
and then Severino should have put the ball in his back pocket.
Okay, you're going to say BS stuff. I'm going to correct
Acuna
you.
Acuna also
Starling
had
Marte's play. Running catch was a miscue.
But he caught
he
it.
So don't call it a great catch.
So when Juan Soto does it's a great catch.
No one's talking about Juan Soto. Stick to this. You're not arguing with somebody else.
He caught the ball.
He misplayed it into a great catch.
But he caught it.
Thank you.
Don't bring it up as a great play, T.
I didn't.
Yeah, you just did.
No, I didn't.
Oh
I said he
God.
Caught the ball. I said he misread it.
Why did you bring up a random play then?
Because you're asking me about them being tight.
Their defense, no. Their defense sucked yesterday. And for you to dispute that, I don't know what game you watched. Francisco Alvarez and Luis Severino. That's a bad defensive play. Acuna not turning a double play in the first inning is a bad defensive play.
Which Starling they got out of.
Hold on. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
you're
that they
asking
got out
me,
of it.
Don't move the goalpost.
I'm not moving any goalpost.
You just said they made one bad play I can think of. You're wrong. Either you didn't watch the game, or you're just ignoring it.
I
just named three. I'm not even done yet. Marte, overthrowing Alonso is a bad play. That's tight. I'm sorry. You don't want to call it tight? That's bad defense. Those are three bad defensive plays.
So Glaber was tight last night?
I'm not talking about the Yankees.
I'm using other examples, Evan. You want to fit your narrative.
We're talking about the Yankees.
Here's
right
what
now.
I would
we're
say.
Not, but we're just talking about how you can prove that someone is tight.
No, I'm asking him, and then he said, well, what bad defense did they play? I just gave you three examples, and your answer is, what about Glaber Torres? Don't what about me. Don't what about as a me. Answer it. They made bad defensive plays last night. Anyone who watched the game knows that.
Okay, so it doesn't mean that they're tight. I will
What's
say
the
this.
Definition of a baseball team that looks tight?
I will say this.
To answer that question.
The Braves played a lot looser, and they played more comfortable.
What's
I'll
the
give you
definition
that.
Of
also
a team
because
that...
because they're at home.
They're comfortable playing the Mets
What's
in Atlanta.
What's the definition
clearly.
Of a team that
it's
looks
like
tight?
It's like the Astros playing the Yankees over the last couple of
Evan,
years.
Evan, they also
they're
scored...
They're just always comfortable.
Okay.
They believe that they're going to win.
Yes.
Now, if you want... Tight, I think, is the wrong description.
Well, how would you describe a team that looks tight in a baseball game? Somebody answer my question, please.
It's probably belief that you're going to win. I had this conversation with Devontae Adams. I'm so tired of talking about these stupid, banal baseball comparisons over year. But I'm going to give you an example of an athlete telling me what it's like in these situations.
Go.
So I'm having this conversation because we did the Raiders game with Devontae Adams. And the Raiders... Are they good or are they bad? I don't know. We don't know yet what they're going to be.
Confusing what they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which kind of is similar to how the Mets are, correct? So I remember having this conversation, and I asked him specifically about Aaron Rodgers. Because the question was, hey, everybody says the hottest question in football right now is that you're unhappy in Las Vegas and you want to be someplace else type of thing. And so I asked him about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And he said, you know, the thing with Aaron was... is that whenever we go into a game, we knew we were going to play well.
Mm-hmm.
Like we knew that we had a chance and we're probably going to win. It was, how great is it going to look when we win? Like, what am I going to do that's special?
Mm.
And so if I'm going to make a difference between the Mets and the Braves right now, it's that the Braves have that mentality where they come into a game against whoever it is. In this case, it happens to be the Mets. And since they've owned the Mets historically, I guess you could say they believe that they're going to win. They say, look, I know we're going to win. It's just how are we going to win?
I agree with them.
And I don't think the Mets have that.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that's – I wouldn't say that's tight. I would say it's an earned and learned confidence that the Mets haven't quite mastered yet.
I think that – it took a day and a half of you and I arguing, and you agree with me.
Because you're just screaming about bad word. You're screaming about stuff that happened 2 years ago.
No, but
that means nothing to me.
I
hear this all the time on like sports talk radio. Like, start throwing
history at me. Start throwing me names and circumstances that happened 5 to 12 to 30 years ago. Like, I give a you-know-what about that right now.
What if it's the same players?
But it's not.
No, but in 2 years ago,
but
it was.
But it's not.
I'll give you 99.
I don't want to hear how history is repeating itself, because that's not possible. But it's just not.
But it is.
No, the result might repeat itself, but the history of what happened 2 years ago is not the same. The circumstances are not the same. The people are not the same. And if there's one thing that the Mets are missing, I got to tell you, it's Francisco Lindor.
Of course.
Because he is their leader. Right? He is the guy who doesn't believe in the ghost of Christmas past or playoff time past. He just goes and he answers every question and shows up every day. And with him not there, they don't have someone doing that. Because it's not Pete. It's not Brandon Nimmo.
Yeah.
It's nobody else.
No, he's the leader.
And so without him, that's what they're missing.
But he needs to perform like that. Because he didn't perform like that 2 years ago. And that's where I would disagree. You're right about 1999, obviously. I know that has nothing to do with last night.
Nothing.
That's more fans being emotional about what we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference. But I do think 2 years ago is irrelevant. I do think this is similar to the Giants. You got Giant players talking about last year.
Right.
And about the history against
because
the Cowboys.
Because a lot of them were there.
Well, a lot of Mets were there. Brandon Nimmo was
there. Yeah, but a lot of them weren't as well.
Okay. And a lot of Malik Nabers wasn't there. So for him, you're right. It's something new.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Oh, right. And so should newer Mets. But I think what you described eloquently about the Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers thing, I think is exactly right. I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I've been saying in a very ineloquent way, which is the Braves know. They go into these games, Teague, and they know they're going to win.
Right.
And they do and it so every
the,
time.
So, and so the question is, why don't the Mets?
Why?
It's not that they don't, or it is, or they're tight, or whatever else you want to scream and yell about. It's why don't they?
So why?
Because you're a professional athlete. It gets paid a ton of money to play a kid's game. Why don't you believe that you can be great? And if I don't know that answer, I'm not in that clubhouse. I don't interact with them. I don't know them personally. I don't know baseball that intimately. So the question is, why aren't they that way? Especially after how good they've been post May. So why aren't they that way?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the moment is too big. I don't know. You know, sometimes we say a team looks tight, and that was the only question I was asking. What makes you think a team looks tight?
So,
like, what's the answer? Does it not exist? Is it just a buzzword that doesn't have any meaning? Or is there a way a baseball team could look tight?
Pretty much, because Arcia bobbled a few balls. Was he tight last night? They didn't play the best defense. They got a couple balls bounced their way. What was the biggest reason, or one of the biggest reasons, the Mets won on Sunday night, Evan? You had to give a tiki game ball out for the...
I think they pitched incredibly well. I think it just starts with that. I mean, they pitched incredibly well.
No, what was the thing you never got to in high school? Third base. The third base. Alvarez threw the ball on third base.
They had a break go their way.
Okay, and last night, again, Alvarez made a bad play.
That's
and it didn't
one
go the way.
Thing that contributed to them winning.
It started a three-run inning.
Well, hold on. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to criticize him,
hold on.
We could start there. We want to criticize Pete. We could go there.
Well, I already did
criticize. But you're dancing around it.
No, guys
out.
First of all, did you even listen to your own freaking show? The thing I started with was the defensive mistakes by Severino and Alvarez. Now you're saying, why aren't you calling them out? Well, we started by talking about that. The Mets won on Sunday night for a myriad of reasons. They had a break go their way when Alvarez made that throw to third base and the ball hit the bag and kind of plopped up.
Yep.
But they pitched really well. They got clutch hitting, Tyrone Taylor, Brandon Nimmo, and they won a close baseball game. But again, no one's answered the question. What's the definition of looking tight?
So was Alvarez tight when he threw the ball?
No, I'm asking you a question. What is the definition of a team looking tight?
You're not tight.
Okay, again.
You run into a great pitcher. There is no tight, is what I'm saying.
I've given up asking the question because no one's going to answer it.
Because there is no answer.
Tiki, at least respectfully, says, look, I don't think that exists, basically. And that's fine. You're just asking other questions. What does a team look like when they're tight? No one's going to answer me. Maybe somebody will on social media. At Evan Roberts, WFAN. I'll check. Do you have an answer, Sean? You've been very quiet.
No, I don't, but I've decided that you should fly to Atlanta Monday and be there for your team if there's a doubleheader.
I would if I could, but I put the show first.
Oh, okay.
And so I can't miss the show to go to a Met Brave game. Someone once told me I was childish or I'm a child for doing that. But you know deep down, Sean, I would if I could.
I think he could do the show.
If Ryan Hurley walked through this door, he won't, and says, Ev, I have this great idea.
You should go.
We're going to send you to Atlanta.
Represent us.
Represent, and we're going to mic you up. So you'll be in the seats. Tiki will lead the show, and you can add whatever you want to add. You know, just add. I would. I'd drive there. So don't play that game of, why don't you do this? Trust me. If given the chance, I would.
Okay.
What are you okaying? I'm mad at everybody today.
He's throwing it back in your face because you got on him for not going to the game on Thursday.
I know, but I would if I could.
I think we all need counseling after this.
Where there's a will, there's a way, I think is what he's saying.
There's no will. Hey, when we come back, more of your phone calls.